Oh my God. And then the way Tom Atkins kept yelling, turn it off. Stop it. Stop it. Yeah. And then everyone died. Man, what an ending to
a great movie.
One of that's got to be like one of the best Halloween movies that I've ever seen.
Oh, it's, I think so.
It's tier, and I feel like everybody needs to see it.
It is past midnight. Your cohorts are already in pajamas.
Welcome to Midnight Movie House.
Where two idiots sit you down and we talk about
horror movies and the roller coasters and the house of horror.
Do you like scary movies?
Jesus. Oh, is that?
let's go. Right, anyway, we have to go.
We're getting milk.
We have a podcast recording.
Okay, right.
We're getting your milk.
That's lightning if you couldn't tell. Hello and welcome to another episode of Midnight Movie House. I'm your host, Steve Hurwitz, and this is the podcast where we discuss horror news. We will talk about a horror movie, and we will just bring a little bit of everything else into the podcasting world and the horror world universe. The Pooniverse, maybe? Who's to say? Mm-hmm. Not me, but I know someone who does have something to say about that.
Nope.
We have my co-host with the mo-host, Juju Jefferson, who, oh my God, whoa. Okay, he's really far back. He's sprinting. He's running at me. And here he comes. It's Jeff. Whoa.
Oh! I'm here. Jesus. Oh, fuck. What's happening?
You ran into the table. Oh, the microphone's God. Okay. Jesus.
Woo. Oh, I spilled my drink. Shit. Fuck. Oh, I didn't mean to. Sorry for swearing.
It's okay. We're recording this episode late. We had to do like a little jog. You know, I sat down and you had to do a run up because we just ended up rewatching a fantastic horror movie. I think one of the classics of our time and our era. We watched Halloween 3 right before this and
Spirit of the Witch.
Spirit, you mean the season? I can't tell if that was a legitimate mess up or not. Genuinely. I mean, you got the witchy shit, right?
Yeah, well.
Yeah, there's the witchy shit and. My God, there's just something about
great movie.
Yeah, the way that the masks just really like the entire franchise.
Yeah, the pumpkin mask, the witch mask,
the skull
other
mask,
one,
the camera,
the skull mask,
catching the skull pumpkin or the skull basket, trick or treating basket. Is that what they call baskets?
Maybe.
What do you call it? Trick or treating pail, Beckett. Yeah, Beckett.
Just a great movie all around. And honestly, I
love the anthology format and style that they've now decided to take the Halloween franchise in. Because
it was like the first movie. Michael Myers, second movie. What? Michael Myers again?
And it was kind of spooky.
And it's embarrassing to admit.
But we're all friends here.
We're all
in
friends,
a safe space.
Guys.
And
Michael Myers?
I trust the listeners.
I guess fucking scary
it's fucking
as hell.
Scary as balls, you know?
Nightmares for weeks.
He's just a dude in a mask.
Yeah, with sharp stuff.
He kills teenagers. We're teenagers.
He walks really slow.
And it's
I didn't like it.
Yeah. So I'm glad that
they're switching it up now.
It's exciting.
It's like, I'm looking forward to all the movies to come. You know what I mean?
I can only imagine the amount of success that Halloween 3 must have had, that there wasn't some in-between time of any sequels or something.
Yeah.
You know, I've only heard talk here and there about maybe
rumor whispers.
Exactly. But I got some exciting news for you, Jeff. Are you ready for this?
No way. What?
Yeah. Now, you brace yourself. You better get ready to just sit down. Well, you already are.
Let me tell you something, Steve. I'm sitting already.
Well, I went thrifting and I love to find me some good videotapes here and there.
Yeah, I know that about you.
I happened to find this bootleg copy of the next movie.
What?
Halloween 4.
Now,
Now, I know nothing about this. I've only heard whispers and rumors here and there. But again, if Halloween 3 was the peak of Halloween, what else are they going to do? They did first, like you said, Michael Myers the killer. Then they have the haunted masks. What's next?
Yeah, like, what is it going to be like?
Someone's shoes that eat your feet?
Yeah, a mask again, but this one, like when you put it on at certain times, it turns you into a green-faced guy who makes tornadoes and puts car parts up other people's butts.
And hey, somebody stop Jeff because he's on to something.
Right?
Wow.
What else? I mean, it could be anything. Haunted candy, a little pumpkin head guy who eats candy and kills little kids.
Or maybe a guy with knives on his hands.
Ooh.
Jack
Skellington?
Knife finger?
Yeah, knife finger.
Who's to say?
All one word. And he kills you when you're awake.
Yeah, just for fun. He's like, hey, gotcha.
It really could go anywhere.
I know. I'm excited
anywhere,
to see.
But I can't
deal with it. I can't do it. It's too much. He's too scary. Scary.
Yeah.
The way that I just see William Shatner looking at me.
If I see a pair of coveralls ever again, I'm going to shit myself.
If I see a mask that looks nothing like the original mask or even close to the second mask, I'm going to shit myself.
Steve.
Yeah.
Can I tell you a secret?
Please.
If I see a sheriff of a town just being a sheriff, doing sheriff stuff, and then there's a bald guy who's really angry and he shows up, I'm going to shit myself.
If I see Donald Pleasance in any movie other than...
Oh, don't get me started.
Other than a James Bond movie where he says, you only died when... I fucked it up. You only live twice, Mr. Bond. I was trying to do it.
Well, what's going to happen?
I don't know. He's going to kill James Bond. Oh, wait.
No.
Oh. I'm going to lose my shit.
Yeah. In your pants, because you're going to shit yourself.
Exactly. So, I mean, I hope none of this happens when I blow off this videotape.
Ooh,
the dust is off.
I got chills.
I can't. There's like a title that goes along with this, but it's been scratched off. It just is Halloween.
Yeah,
before.
It's kind of like dusty.
All right. Well, I'm glad I have my VCR over here. Let me turn
it on. Yeah, slide it on in.
All right. And I'm going to put the VHS in the VHS machine. Oh, dude, I'm so excited.
Me too.
Oh.
Hold on. What is that?
What is that music?
What does that say?
Jeff, I know this music.
Oh, I don't like what's happening.
Jeff?
Steve?
Oh no! It's Michael Myers!
Now, Michael Myers has come home. He has returned for one more night of unholy terror.
Michael!
Somebody help me!
He's here to kill that little girl and anybody who gets in his way.
Who's gonna be next?
Holy crap. Well, apparently we just watched Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers from 1988, directed by Dwight H. Little. And my God.
Well,
there were no masks.
No trick-or-treating little kids. That's not true.
That's not true. You're a liar, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm a liar.
There was not three masks, but we went back to one mask. One mask.
One in particular.
That looked a little bit different than it has before. But we, as the title says, have the return of Michael Myers. He has come back to the big screens because Halloween 3 didn't do very well.
Yeah.
Everyone really disappointed by no Michael Myers.
And by everyone, we mean everyone else. Am I right?
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, a
couple of Halloween 3 boys over here.
That's right. So Halloween 4, they returned to Michael Myers. They returned to what made a lot of money.
They tried something a little new, a little fun, a little fresh, a little different, and then immediately went back to Michael Myers.
And I believe we established it was 6 years after Halloween.
Yeah, I guess 2. Not immediately. It was like, and then immediately stopped making movies. And then 6 years later, return to Michael Myers.
I just want to double check on that date because, yeah, I guess Halloween 3 must have just kind of really deterred everyone after that.
I believe Halloween 3, you said, was 1982. And then Halloween 4 was 88.
Correct. So 6 years.
Six whole years, honking years.
And honestly, I'll admit, I am excited to see Michael Myers back. As much as I love Halloween 3, it does stand alone on its own. It's like we said earlier, it's been a hot minute since we've talked about any Halloween franchise. Yeah. Actually, I might have said that at the end of last
feels
episode.
Good.
We're back in Haddonfield. Yeah, we're back with a man who doesn't really look like William Shatner. Oh, fuck, that was good. I almost went straight past that. Back in the habit.
I'm glad.
And he's got his knife back.
And like you mentioned, he looks a little different.
He does.
He looks a little, kind of a little closer to maybe like a Mark Zuckerberg.
Actually, yeah, you're not wrong there. Well, before we move any further, Jeff, can you give us a little, myself and the listeners, a recap of what happened in Halloween's 1 and 2 to lead us to where we are in Halloween 4?
I'll do my best.
Yep.
Well, in Halloween 1, Michael killed a bunch of people.
Sure did.
And then
Halloween 2.
He got away.
Yep.
And then Halloween 2.
Well, hey, Jeff, don't forget. I shot him six times.
Six times.
I shot him six times. I shot him in the heart.
That's right. Okay. And then Halloween 2, he's back.
I guess that's when Loomis yells about six times.
I shot him six times.
I shot him six times.
And then the townspeople really don't appreciate it.
Keep talking, Jeff.
Okay, cool will do. And they kind of hunt him down. I do mix up Halloween 2 with Halloween Kills, which is like the rebooted Halloween 2. But I believe the townspeople kind of hunt him down and beat him in the street and fill him with bullets and then burn him. Or maybe Loomis does. All I know is that the movie ends. All I know is Steve told me earlier today that the movie ends with Michael face down and on fire, and fire's kind of coming out the eye holes of the mask. And I believe Loomis is also burning.
I don't know how accurate that was, guys. Sorry, I realized I have my Halloween 4 socks.
Oh, that would have been a spoiler if you wore those earlier.
That's why I didn't wear them earlier, and I meant to put them on before we started recording.
Oh, and he does look like a dork.
So did you tell the listeners correctly that Halloween 2 was the night after, and Michael chased Laurie to a hospital? Ooh, I'm out of breath from all that running. And then Michael Myers ended up getting shot in both eyes, and he was bleeding out of the eyes. And then Loomis helped Laurie escape, and then he ended up shooting a gas tank and they both exploded in the same room.
That's exactly what I said.
Perfect. Because I heard some talk about townspeople and Halloween Kills, and I was like, is he talking about Halloween Kills?
No, I didn't.
Good.
Yeah, I was like, remember that movie Halloween Kills? Anyway, back to Halloween 2.
And then again, Loomis was in that room that exploded, and we saw Michael literally burning through his mask and his face.
Yeah.
And then we now are in Halloween 4. That's all you need to know about the past two.
It's a little funny to me. I feel like writers attempt to be like, look, he's for sure dead.
Yeah.
And then producers come back and like, what if we do another one?
Well, I think that was the point that John Carpenter, like why he helped make the second one, why he had any involvement. Because he was like, I want to just kill him so he can't come back.
Yeah, he's like, see, he has to be dead. Yep. Look, his eye holes are burning. And they're like, oh, what if? He's like, fuck this, I'm out. Didn't he do a treatment for Halloween 4 and it was like more anthology?
I want to say I read that somewhere. Would have loved to have seen that.
It was like Haddonfield still, but it was like how the town reacted and other Halloween things or something like that. And then it was like,
that would have been cool because it's still keeping Haddonfield like in the picture.
Right.
Interesting. Maybe it's like and the town is cursed and it's all these weird things that happen around Haddonfield.
I think that could have been cool.
That's a really good idea, Jeff.
Well, I read it on, I think that's real. I see. Or maybe I'm just really
you're
smart.
You're a genius.
But instead, they hired a writer to write a screenplay in 11 days.
Right before another writer's strike.
To be like, slasher, because they're really popular.
It's true. And they needed the main man himself back, Michael Myers.
That's right.
Now, speaking of the writer, there was a scene that he wanted to have included in the movie, but they ended up cutting. It was the movie opening up with like a hallway, and it's just like quiet. There's nothing going on. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden there's an explosion and you see Loomis's body fly towards the camera. And that was going to start off the movie.
Whoa, that's a choice.
Honestly, I kind of would have liked that because
it's kind of cool.
It's showing that Loomis managed to escape, or he got blown clear from it. And
I feel like I would have done a version of that, except an explosion. And then you see Loomis kind of slowly claw and crawl his way out a little bit, and then it cuts a little bit less action movie Die Hard style. But
I mean, it would have started with a bang,
right?
I guess the big thing is that Loomis is back in this. That's one of the things that they sort of glanced over a little bit after he was in a giant explosion. But before we get into more of that, let's just start with the beginning of this movie, Jeff.
Yeah, lots of shots of nice Halloween kind of moments with a nice sunset.
And I really like this opening. There are really cool shots. And I remember I watched a documentary last night before we watched this movie. And the director made that choice because he wanted to show more of sort of like what Halloween represents and like the end of the season. And
that's cool.
More than like the town or like a melting pumpkin or something. And
right. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, there was no immediate Halloween theme going on behind it. It was just, I think, quiet, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, it was kind of eerie.
Which, again, I think it sets a really good tone for this movie.
And I also like that by not starting with the Halloween theme, you're leaving it open to really like bring it in at a great spot. So you can kind of choose where it shows up instead of just opening the movie with it.
And that was something the music guy, what do you call that?
The music guy. Composer?
The composer wanted to do as well, because I don't think the theme shows up until about 4 minutes into the actual movie.
Yeah, and I remember when it shows up.
Yeah,
I
was me like, too. Ooh. It was very cool. So,
and really quick, so my takeaway from that is, I'm sorry, you did research? Because what the fuck, Steve? Okay. I thought our pact and part of the curse was that we're actually not allowed to like read anything or look up anything. It just like we just make shit up and we look bad.
Well, when we were lost in the house, I ended up getting separated from you and a TV appeared in front of me and it played the documentary. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Yeah. I heard a lot of screaming from the room you ended up.
Yeah, it didn't feel good. So I'm glad you had a great time watching behind the scenes stuff for Halloween 4. I was just being stretched. All of me.
Cool.
Yeah. Like all the parts, if you know what I mean.
One of those medieval torture stretched devices.
Out. Yeah. Not in a cool way.
Ouchy.
Yeah. It didn't feel good.
I'm sorry.
But yeah. Anyway, back to Halloween 4.
Here we go. We have a classic opening of two ambulance people transporting Michael. They're taking him to the Smith's Grove Sanitarium. Thank you. I have the worst time saying that.
It's because I thought about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, sanitarium, how weird.
They're doing a pickup and transport. Of course, it's Michael Myers that they're doing this to the night before.
It's always the goddamn transport. Didn't they learn anything from Richard Kimball?
I don't know what that means. Is that a The Fugitive reference?
Yeah, it is.
I knew it. Thanks again for the invite to The Fugitive.
Actually, I did invite you.
And you forgot.
And you declined.
I didn't remember.
Oh, that's right. You forgot. But yeah, you can't transport the guy. First of all,
kill him. Especially the night before Halloween.
Yeah. Thank you. Didn't even think about that point.
And I guarantee you Loomis would be saying the same thing.
Yeah, they're like, oh shit, it's about that time. It's anniversary. Let's pop him in the ambulance.
Here he goes. But
make sure to unstrap his arms.
Of course, he's supposed to be in a coma. He somehow managed to survive the explosion.
Yeah,
and we do get a nice little elevator ride of exposition where the security guard takes him down there and just, this is what we just did. We
welcome the background. To hell.
Welcome to hell.
Oh, my notes.
I have a line that one of the ambulance people, they're like,
Jesus.
And then
me too.
The guy replies,
Jesus ain't got nothing to do with this place.
Yeah, that guy was full of little one-liners.
He sure was.
I didn't write any of the other ones down.
Same here. But again, he just kind of tells us what happened in Halloween's 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing in that documentary, the director was like, we got it out of the way quickly. Like, it sort of needs to happen for people who are new to this. And just as a little reminder.
And to play devil's advocate, I think it was pretty believable as far as like a dude being like, oh, you heard of this fucking guy? Like a security guard kind of shooting the shit in the elevator. It's like, yeah, I got time to kill. I was like, this doesn't feel too forced, honestly, to me. But
I thought it was a little goofy.
It was.
But thinking about it, that's actually, it makes a lot of sense.
I'm like, compared to like some of the other ones, it's a little bit like a little more natural.
Well, they end up getting Michael. They sign the papers away. They wheel him out to the ambulance. And this is when we get the kick in of the theme music.
That's right. As soon as you see his body exit the building, and I believe it's raining.
It is.
Raining, nighttime. Also, by the way, great cinematography.
Yeah, I agree.
I was like, this is beautiful. The lighting, everything was very like 80s in the best way. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminded me of Friday the 13th part, my favorite one, six?
Six, yeah.
Kind of like
see that.
Colorful, you know, dramatic. Yeah, and the theme just kicking in right when they exit. That's when I was like, uh-oh, I bet I'm going to like this.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we'll see if that.
If it stayed
up.
True.
Yeah.
And I do like that with every Halloween movie, it's like the James Bond themes.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the year that it comes out, there's always a little change or it's
Did you hate that?
I actually really like that.
Oh, okay.
That was
nice.
Great. But yeah, this one has a little bit more of a, I don't know if synth, but like 80s synthy kind of flavor to it.
Yeah, a little 80s attitude.
And again, I just love how every movie has a different version, you know, even with the 2018 and the 2019 or whatever, the 2022 versions of the David Gordon Green trilogy. They all have a little
change. Twist.
And it keeps it from getting boring, but it still is that classic theme that it's a good theme.
It is a good theme.
And
I remember
I said that in the first one, it's relentless. And I don't remember if I said I liked it or not.
Yeah, I don't remember loving it in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
Yo, I remember you said that they would play that every time before something spooky happened. So I think you knew when something.
Yeah, it was kind of like, all right. And also, again, very, just people chilling and it'd be like, dun, 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 and it's like, okay, I don't know.
I think I remember enjoying it for the most part, but.
And they just, they have such better. I don't know. They choose moments to use it. And it's like, I like the way they do that.
You're going to have to remind me if you remember it showing up at certain parts, but I think they were pretty like tame with it for the most part.
Yeah, I think so showing too. Up.
And again, I just love that they saved it for however many minutes in and not just blasting us in the face with it.
Yeah. It was like the moment he's kind of like free in a way.
Yes.
It's like he's back. It was like, here he comes. Shit.
Look out, world. He's unleashed.
Yeah.
Well, we have the two paramedic transport people talking about how that he does have one remaining. I think it's a niece.
Yes.
Left in Haddonfield.
And Jamie.
Yeah, that sort of prompts him to begin moving. I do also like the look of him right now.
He clenches a fist.
Because he has his bandages over his face. From
very invisible man.
Yeah.
I do have a quote from this scene.
Ooh, let's have it.
It's so, like you're saying, the EMTs are talking to each other. And yeah, the mention of his niece kind of shows he's maybe brought
back
a little bit because of that.
Or maybe he was always just there.
Yeah, hibernating.
Exactly.
And then we have... The moment, a little spoiler that I almost said Jason, that Michael comes back to life. It's right in the middle of one of the EMTs talking. He goes, you know, I still don't understand.
Jesus Christ. You scared the shit out of me. It's like adjusting my mic. It just jumped.
It's so like out of nowhere. And he's just like, hey, you know what? Anyway. And then a hand comes out of nowhere and just jams its fucking thumb into his face, his eye—I don't remember.
It's right in the forehead,
in
right
his
here.
Forehead, yeah. And he's like, right in between the eyes.
No, I still don't understand.
And he's bashing the skull against the back. You see blood coming down.
Yeah, that was funny.
And fun fact: I saw that hand is mechanical, and that the thumb was retractable. So that way, it would look like it was going in when it went into the dude's head, into his forehead.
That's cool.
Yeah, and also that's
a crazy way to do that.
That was a scene that was also added in. I think a little bit later, don't quote me on this, but there was not enough blood initially in this movie. So they had to add in certain scenes. Like there's a scene where a man gets his throat kind of like ripped. That was added in. And then I believe more of the blood in this scene was added in because it, you know, it's not a Halloween movie without some blood.
Well, that's funny because I actually read a quote saying that there wasn't enough blood in this movie and that they added in some scenes where the dude's neck gets ripped and stuff. I think it was a guy, his name was Steve. Steve Hurwitz. How do you like that?
I don't know what's happening. I don't like this.
You can't tell me what to do. And you said not to quote you. And I'm going to quote you.
Okay. There we go.
Okay.
I literally forgot that. Man.
Yeah. Bad joke.
Well, that's just going to take us into the first three kills. So we have the dude getting the thumb through the forehead, which again, how does that work? I guess his head is also getting bashed into like the back of the wall.
Yeah,
so
but like
brain damage.
Is this establishing maybe for the first time that he's super strong, or have we had it previously? Because shoving your thumb through someone's skull, that's pretty intense.
I guess probably maybe this is the start to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he did survive being burned. So
true, I guess.
And an explosion. Kind of, yeah. So he's maybe got like a new layer of skin. That
and shot in both eyes.
That's true.
I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. And then shot six times.
I shot him six times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Six times.
Well, we don't see the death of the other EMT in the ambulance, but it's clear she dies. And then you also
do find out it's very clear that she dies.
Yeah. And then we also have to count the driver of the ambulance.
Right.
I did not initially count that because it wasn't until a little later on when Loomis comes in, he's like, six people are already dead. And I was like, oh, shit, the EMT. So did you get the third knife in too?
Uh-oh. Hold on.
You already did.
I only did one.
Oh, how dare you?
Yeah.
We have kills 1 through 3 immediately.
Respect.
All right, we are now introduced to Rachel and Jamie, our two main leads of this movie. And Rachel, I gotta say, when I first saw this movie, I had the biggest crush on that actor.
I'm gonna say, surprised. Not because I was like, of course you do, but I'm like, because of course you do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. She's like that girl next door type. She's got the blonde sort of
poofy big hair. Yeah.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah.
And so then again, we also have Jamie played by Danielle Harris, who has gone on to play this character in the sequel. She showed up in the Rob Zombie movies as a different character, and she is also just like a big name in horror. She's I think she was in the Hatchet franchise after
Hatchet
the first
three
one. I think 2 and 3.
I looked that up. Mm-hmm. And probably two, yeah.
Yeah, she took over, I think, for that main actor who was in that.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, she's great. And so this was one of her first roles that I think I've ever seen her in. You know, she's a kid, and I thought mm-hmm. she was a great actor in this.
Yeah,
she
I was surprised.
Really good job. I don't like kid actors.
No, me neither.
But she did good. And so we learned that these two are foster sisters.
Yeah, is this when we also meet their parents?
It's, yeah, pretty much. We're introduced to them at night. Where, we have Jamie having some bad dreams.
Right.
And then this is also where we see that her mom is Jamie Lee Curtis, Laurie right. Strode, and she died in some sort of accident.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some kind of car accident.
Yeah. I think. And then that's the big thing. And then she has a nightmare where Michael shows up. And well, we actually have the first look at the mask in this
that's
scene
right.
where we have a man grab her leg. And a little fun thing is that the guy who played Michael liked mm-hmm. to have fun on set. And so when they were filming the scene of him having to grab Jamie's leg, whenever like a cast or crew person would walk by, he would just shoot out his arm and try and grab him to give him a scare.
Awesome.
Yeah, I read like a lot of things about the actor who played Michael, George P. Wilbur. Like he was just one of the nicest guys. And I saw that there was a good relationship between him and Danielle Harris, the girl who plays Jamie.
That's cool.
He was always lifting up the mask to show her like, hey, I'm just a dude.
Like, hey,
just
right.
in a movie. And he was always joking about and just making her and other people just feel safe. Mm-hmm. And I love
that's
that.
That's really cool. Yeah, it makes me like it more. See, and she did a great job acting. You don't mm-hmm. need to like traumatize kids.
Exactly.
Kubrick. You know what I mean?
Or adults.
Or adults. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we do get
that's really cool.
The first look at the new mask and
I would say sleeker.
It's sleeker and I don't like it.
Yeah, his hair's kind of like slicked back in a way.
I started telling you this a little earlier, but they, I believe, lost the original mask mold. And so they had to order new Harrison Ford. And by Harrison Ford, I mean,
whoa.
who
Shatner.
No,
William Shatner.
Who was the captain of a certain Starship Enterprise?
Star William Trek Shatner. Reference, William Shatner.
They had to get new masks that were made of his face. And one of the issues that they had was when they got, I think they were six masks, they were the wrong color. So the face was white. No, the face was pink with white hair. And
yeah,
so,
that sounds so good.
The person who dealt with the masks and makeup and stuff like that, the design, he ended up having to repaint the face white and then streak tip the hair brown. And
the pink mask with the white hair reminds me of the mask from I Think You Should Leave. You know what I'm talking about?
That the weird.
I don't want to be here anymore. That guy?
I don't know that.
I'll have to show you.
All right, cool.
I don't even want to be around anymore.
What?
I don't want to be around anymore.
He ended up saying that it resulted in a bumpy texture.
And then they had to do the paint over, right?
There is a scene that we'll bring up a little later on where one of those pink masks shows up, which even you noticed too, which was great.
Yeah, it's like, well, hold on, what the fuck was that? Who is that?
Yeah, but that was, it's just, yeah. I do like that with this documentary, it's just seeing how much care is put into this movie, mm-hmm. but also sometimes things like this with the mask happen. It's like, oh,
yeah.
Oh no.
I love that kind of stuff though. It's so fun. Like just watching all the weird shit they had to go through.
It does make me appreciate this mask more though. I think this is probably one of the better ones from the followings.
Yeah. I will say from the promotional materials, I'm like, this is going to be fucking goofy. And then I watched the movie and it's like, not bad. Honestly, it didn't bother me. It didn't seem goofy.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely different. And I probably prefer the earlier masks, but it wasn't so bad.
Interesting. Yeah, I
was fine.
I got used to it, maybe just because I've seen
really
it so many
it.
Times. And even when I was younger, I don't think I thought about it at all. I was like, oh, no, that is Michael.
Right.
Or maybe it's because I saw one of the later ones. I don't remember which one I saw first. So I'm sure I saw one of the worst ones.
That the style of the mask kind of shifts a little bit throughout the movie, too, if you didn't already say that. Because one of the producers was like, change it. Do this other thing. Change it. So it's always like kind of. The eyes are changing shapes a little tiny bit and like different things would kind of change. And it's like,
that's that behind the scenes stuff. Producers. That's wild. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jamie has the nightmares and she ends up waking up. And then now we end up seeing some of their life. Jamie living with Rachel and her family. And this is what
this
you're going
to
say.
This is what I thought. Yeah. Yeah. There's a moment that I loved introducing us to the parents where they're getting coffee in the morning, getting ready. And it's like, oh, we're a family. Yeah. And the dad like fucking dips his fucking tie in his own coffee like an idiot and he turns around to his wife and just goes, Darlene. I was like, what the fuck? What a classic like 80s like, you stupid bitch, I dip my tie in my coffee,
now what am I supposed to do?
What the hell? It's like, just blaming his wife for no reason.
And I do like her reaction. She's just like, there's a spare one in the bathroom or whatever. There's a blue one in the bedroom.
She's like, fine, I'll solve your problem for you.
He's like, oh, good.
Darlene.
So, yeah, those are those two main characters. And we didn't mention, but now that it is the next day, it is officially October 31st.
Halloween.
My next note in just all capital letters says, enter Loomis. He is back. Donald Pleasance.
Wait a second,
late,
Steve.
Great. Yes.
I thought you said Loomis exploded and died at the end of Halloween 2.
I will say he exploded, but clearly did not die somehow.
That's right. Similar to what you said, could have been the intro to this movie where he flies at the screen. He's like, but don't worry, I'm alive. Wink.
I do wish they had kept that in.
Me too.
Yeah. Except, you know, more crawling.
He
winks
and gives a thumbs up to the camera, freeze frames.
Da 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 da.
Halloween 4.
Do 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 do. Well, he comes in with some of his classic one-liners and rants about he's evil on two legs. You can't kill evil.
You're talking about him as if he were a human being.
Yeah. I'm going to do what I have to before it's too late. Because the guy he was talking to gets a phone call right away as soon as him. He's like, why did you transport him on all days, Halloween, without telling me? And the guy's like, well, you know, he's state property. Right. And then as the phone rings and he's like, oh no. And Loomis is just like, I fucking know. And then he takes off and the two end up going to the accident site, which we learn is the ambulance that was driving Michael to Smith's Grove. It is upside down in a lake, covered in blood.
Covered in blood inside and out. They're like, well, you see, it must have veered off this bridge. It's like 12 feet up, upside down. Must have veered off this bridge. It was definitely an accident.
Loomis,
it's like, dude,
goes right in.
This thing is covered in blood.
Inside, you see Loomis looking covered in blood, and then outside, covered in blood.
It's like, yeah, clearly they just veered off and then fucking exploded. And then maybe someone got out and was like, oh, what the fuck? And then exploded outside. Like, how? And they're all like, yeah, clearly an accident.
Anyway. Yeah. The administrator guy's like, could have been.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, dude.
I've seen people thrown 12 feet. Maybe that's why Michael isn't here.
Get off my back.
And one other thing I just want to bring up about Loomis is that when he shows up, we see that he does have a few burns.
I kept wanting to bring that up. He's got some face burns and some burns on his hand.
On his hand, and that's it. And a little fun fact that I saw in the documentary, I'm just going to keep bringing some fun facts for you, Jeff, is that when Donald Pleasance was watching some dailies or whatever with his girlfriend, she sort of made a joke that it looks like he had an egg on his face because that's like what the prosthetic honestly sort of look like in certain scenes. And Donald Pleasance was like, nope, we're changing that. And so from the very beginning, like that intro scene where he comes back in, that's when you can see like the egg looking scar.
Yeah.
Later on, it does become much more subtle and it changes.
I thought I was imagining things. Mm-mm. I'm like, are they just like, was it the angle or something? Because it looked weird.
Yeah.
I thought it was maybe like a symbol that was burned in on his face. I'm like, am I forgetting something? Okay, so that makes sense.
Anyways, like you said, Loomis at this point is just like, I need to go find Michael. I'm heading to Haddonfield. It's 4 hours away. I'll see y'all's later.
If you don't find him in 4 hours, I'm sure I will.
We now go to a gas station.
Mm-hmm.
And you said a pretty funny line that Michael just hates mechanics.
Yeah, dude. He's got something fucking just some. What's the word I'm looking for?
Vendetta.
Yeah, vendetta against like. Just mechanics
and men in coveralls.
As soon as he's free, every single time he goes straight to a gas station, he fucking murders a mechanic,
and that's how he gets his classic coveralls.
Blue collar my ass, you son of a bitch.
And that gives us kill number 4 right now. We don't see the kill, but we see Michael with, I think it's like a crowbar, and it looks like he just jabs it down. I was seeing again on this documentary that one of the kills that didn't get filmed or maybe was cut was Michael shoving this pipe or crowbar down the mechanic's throat.
Similar to what I was saying earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we have that kill there. And this is when Loomis also shows up. He's just like, where is everyone? Hey, what's up?
Hello.
He ends up finding another mechanic that has been hung. So let's give that kill number 5.
Oh, I thought that was the same guy for some reason. Yeah, he's kind of like hung up by chains. There's a chain in his mouth.
I'm going to say that's a different guy because remember Michael.
Hey.
The mechanic, he was calling out to somebody to give him like a certain screwdriver
or
something.
Yeah.
Then Loomis goes inside of the diner and we see a dead diner person. Kill number 6.
And then, that place is like wrecked.
Yeah. He tries to make a phone call. The wire's been cut. And then he turns around and we have a moment where he just stares and he's like,
Michael, you waited 10 years. I knew this day would come.
Yeah, Michael's just in the doorway.
Wearing the coveralls, but he still has the bandages over his
face. Yeah, which was cool.
That was a very cool look. And he's like, well, if you're going to, don't go after her. Don't go to Haddonfield. If you want anyone, take me. But I like how calm he's saying it kind of too.
Yeah.
If you want another victim, take me, Michael.
And he just pulls the pistol and just fires it off like six times. But then Michael's gone. Just
which
like that.
In that moment, I was a little bit like, is Loomis crazy?
Interesting.
I thought maybe this fourth one, without knowing anything about it, was going to be it was all in Loomis's mind.
Halloween 4, Loomis loses it.
And Loomis is like murdering people thinking they're Michael or something. And he's the bad guy in this one. I don't know.
That would have been a cool idea.
Where it's like, you know. But yeah, he's fucking gone.
He disappears. Mm-hmm. And then we have Loomis going outside after him. And then we have Michael just tearing through a garage in a truck, nearly hits Loomis. We have Loomis do a sick dive out of the way into a bunch of barrels.
Yeah. And the truck Michael's driving like clips some stuff. Yeah. And sets off the most insane chain reaction explosion I've ever seen. That's not true, but
it's pretty impressive.
Totally not warranted. It was like the
gas tank
explodes, which causes this other thing to explode, which causes Loomis's car to explode. And the car does a fucking barrel roll. It doesn't even just do the thing in movies where it like
goes
pops up,
goes down.
It does a full barrel roll, like back onto its tires. That was insane.
And then that also like causes the power lines and the boxes to explode. Mm-hmm. So those are flying all over the place.
And I will say,
Michael just drives away.
Yeah, just later.
Yep. Just leaves Loomis.
Like, you dick.
And I think you had a theory because you were like, I think I know what Michael's going to do.
Oh, I thought Loomis was going to run out and Michael was just going to be like peeling out Loomis's car, which I thought would have been really funny because it just seems more petty for some reason. Like,
and then he just sticks his finger out and flips him off.
You shit, Loomis.
Flicks a cigarette.
Yeah.
I'm Michael Myers, bitch. The only words he says.
Yeah. That's his tagline.
I'm Michael Myers, bitch.
He does seem more like cunning in this movie, mm-hmm. where he's like the whole thing where he cuts the telephone wire and he smashed another phone. And like, it's very like, I'm isolating you and that kind of stuff, which I don't remember in the first two.
I think he does a little bit of that maybe in the first one, but I don't really remember. But yeah, no, I think you are right, because I feel like it has evolved a little bit. And
it seemed more like, I'm just going to stab you and all your family and then go to the next house and keep doing it.
Yeah, and I feel like that does come into play a little later on too.
True.
Well, we now go back to Jamie. We just have her at school and we just have a bunch of kids being big old dicks to her.
Huge assholes.
I'm just like, man, kids are the worst. Maybe especially in the Halloween movies.
Yeah, they're like, haha, your mom's dead.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, dude. Why?
Because kids are the worst. They are so mean.
So cruel.
They don't hold back. They will take you down.
Yeah.
That's why I don't like kids.
Targeted.
Mm. They see me and they know weakness when they see it. They see the fear in my eyes.
We're coming for you, dude.
And that's why I will never look a child in the eye. That's why I'll never
It's a good rule to have.
Owen, James's kid in the eye, because he'll just take me down.
Mm-hmm.
He's a mean one. Well, we have Grinch. Rachel coming to pick up Jamie. And then we also meet Lindsay, who there was some talk that maybe this Lindsay was the Lindsay from Halloween, original Halloween.
Interesting. Okay.
That was never confirmed.
Did not catch that.
But yeah. Jamie decides to go trick-or-treating that night. And so that leads Rachel and Jamie to the drugstore where they're selling a bunch of costumes. And there's like a little bit of a love triangle between Rachel.
Yeah, kind of like a B plot.
Yeah. Rachel, this guy Brady, who she's sort of seeing, and then Kelly, who seems to just be doing whatever she wants.
The sheriff's daughter.
Yeah. Well, while that is going on, Jamie ends up finding a clown costume reminiscent, you know, sort of.
Which I recognized from Halloween 1. Was that
Halloween
from the
very Halloween.
Intro to Halloween 1?
Yeah, it's not like the same, but it's still like the clown.
Oh, I thought it was the same. In my mind's eye, it was.
Michael's is more colorful. But I think there also is a scene like right now when Jamie holds it up to herself and then it turns
and
into
it shows
Kid Michael
in
the same costume.
Nice.
And we now finally have Jamie meeting her uncle. We have a cool shot of, I guess it's not that cool. We have a very convenient shot of the Michael Myers mask. We see a hand grab it and you're like, man, he's lucky that was there.
Yeah. Which to be fair, like I did forget that they kind of like the town has kind of turned him into a legend and they do dress up like him. Because I remember them doing that, I think, in the second one.
Yeah.
Unless I'm again thinking of Halloween Kills.
Well, I think maybe Halloween Kills.
Because I remember there's a whole thing. Well, the blonde.
But in Halloween 2, it was a different color mask, remember?
Yeah.
And that took place the same night as Halloween 1.
Oh, shit.
So
you're
he
right.
wasn't a legend yet.
So really, he's just wearing a William Shatner mask.
Now?
Like always. That's where he got the mask. Or just a mask, quote unquote.
But
is kind of convenient.
You are right at this point that he has now become a boogeyman of this town because this takes place however many years after number two.
Mm-hmm.
The town is well aware, as we'll find out very shortly.
Right.
So he ends up freaking out Jamie, but then he ends up just dipping for some reason. He's like, see, I guess I'll get you later.
Yeah, I was a little confused by that. But
I guess that's just a show. This is how he gets his mask. We go back to Loomis and he is just beat up, covered in soot, looking a little worse for wear, limping. And he gets picked up by a reverend. And he, as you said, makes a friend. There's a little talk about how they're both hunting evil in their own ways. And I kind of like that.
Yeah, the reverend was very like, I'm like, is he hunting Michael? He's like, he appears in different ways and he can't be killed.
You're hunting it, ain't you? Yeah, you're hunting it all right. Just like me.
What are you hunting, Mr. Sam?
Apocalypse, end of the world, Armageddon. It's always got a face and a name.
There's also a little fun bit where another car pulls over because he's trying to hitchhike and it's like a bunch of kids.
Yeah, a bunch of teenagers and cheerleaders and stuff.
He hobbles over.
And they're like, come on, old man, come on, we'll help you. And he walks up to the back and they're like, ha ha. And they like burn rubber and fucking spray a bunch of dirt into his face and drive off. I was like, god damn.
God, they're the worst.
That's insane.
Loomis does end up getting to Haddonfield eventually, and we end up meeting the new sheriff, Sheriff Meeker.
That's right.
And Loomis does what he does best. He's like, Michael's coming. I'm telling you, he's coming.
I tell you, Michael Myers is here in this town.
And the cops are a little like,
You're like, is he? I don't know. And he's like, yes. Yes, he is.
Six bodies. Sheriff, that's what I've seen between here and Richmond.
And they're like, all right, fine. And I like, and I mentioned this while we were watching it, I like that there wasn't too much back and forth and like, nice try, old man, get the fuck out of here. And then he has to go by himself. And then eventually a cop sees Michael or something. It was just like, fuck it. Okay.
Yeah. I think
let's go.
Because the cops tried to call Jamie's house.
Yeah. And no one picked up.
And at this point, Michael does sneak in and he ends up cutting the phone lines too.
Right.
Like you were saying, he's getting more clever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what prompts him. Like, all right, fine. We'll go check it out.
And so, then like from then on, it was basically like, there's a little bit of like unsure
pushback
or whatever, but for the most part it was like, hey, we're in, it's happening.
Yeah, the sheriff's like, all right, fine, me and some other guy will go with you, Loomis, we'll go check it out just in case, because like we just said, it has been established that Michael is known in Haddonfield, and
right,
they're like, well, we don't want something to get blown out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when Loomis says, I've seen six people dead already. He's already killed six people, and that kind of helps him be like, all right, fine. Well,
he's like, all right,
prove that you're
enough.
A crazy old man. There are just some more shots of Rachel and Jamie out trick-or-treating now. Jamie and Rachel both get stalked by Michael a little bit. And we now have kill number 7. Michael ends up going to the power station, I guess, of Haddonfield. And he ends up taking an electrician and he just throws his body into one of the power station cells. And that causes the entire town
to
black out. Yeah. And that's going back once again to your whole, he is sort of maybe planning this out, because that's the only reason why he would have gone to the power station, right?
Right, because I would have said, well, it's just decided, like, he just killed a guy, and so it just so happened to take out the power. But it's like, well, why would he be there unless that was his plan?
Because he was following Jamie and Rachel around for a little bit, too.
True.
Mostly Jamie, I believe.
Yeah.
At this point, Jamie and Rachel end up coming across Loomis and the sheriff when they all end up being surrounded by a bunch
Michaels.
Of people in Michael Myers outfits. And I was like, damn, imagine like a completely different plot involving like multiple Michael Myers.
Right. Or I was thinking that too.
Like a Silver Shamrock thing where the mask takes them over and it embodies Michael. But
I thought one of them was Michael.
Mm.
And then I thought, I don't know. I was like, wait, what? I didn't know what was going on.
Well, neither did the sheriff or Loomis,
because
Loomis sees him. I think the sheriff's like, is that him? And Loomis pulls out his gun. He's like, yeah. And then the sheriff pushes him on the shoulder and points to another one. And
he said, I like that the sheriff is spooked too. He says something like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And then they turn around and there's another dude.
And Loomis is like about to shoot one of them. And
yeah, then like one of them is like about to pull the trigger.
Pulls off their mask. He's like, ha ha, gotcha. Like,
whoa, yeah.
Fucking stupid.
Like, ha, 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 and they all pull their masks off and go running into the darkness. Like, what an idiot.
And already at this point, I believe the police have now sort of put the town in a little bit of a lockdown after the power goes out or around this time.
Yeah. Again, not pulling any punches. You know, they're not like, whoa, we don't want to upset people on Halloween. They're just like, fuck it. Everyone go home. Shut your doors. Lock your doors.
There's a curfew and they want businesses to close. They want people inside
at
all times, at least during this evening.
And people are doing it. There's a lot of shots of parents
picking up their kids, and stuff. They end up going Loomis and crew and co and company go back to the police station. And let's just get a handful of kills. I don't have the exact number, but the police station has been wrecked.
Yeah. They're all dead.
Now, again, the sheriff is all in now at this point. And we also now have a bit of like the local militia showing up because they're banding together, having no idea what's going on. The police weren't answering their phone. So we have a bunch of the townspeople, which I kind of like. Not like the idea of a bunch of people driving around with guns.
Which, you know, just kind of warms my heart.
I was like, look at them taking the law into their own hands.
Yeah.
But I sort of did like that they were doing this because they know about what goes on with Michael. This goes back to more of the town knowing the lore. And I think Loomis says to them that Michael is here.
It was Michael Myers. He's come home to kill.
And they're like, fuck it. This happened. We had kids die years and years ago. We're not going to let this happen again.
Yeah, I think
again.
One of them even gets called out, like one of their kids.
Yeah, one of their kids was killed.
He's like, Tim. He's like, I'm not going to let that happen again or to anyone else or something. And I was like, that's okay. All right. That's.
Yeah.
And it's Mika, a kind of mob mentality that I was like, that makes sense, kind of.
Exactly. Again,
it's like, not shit. I can see how that.
The best way to go about it. But
and they honestly seem kind of level headed, which we'll kind of circle back to later.
Like in about a second.
Yeah.
But there was also a bit where Meeker gets upset at Loomis. He's like, do you know what you've done? You've started a lynch mob or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Loomis replies back, you don't have any police. They're all dead.
They've all been killed.
There's like one other guy, deputy.
Yeah.
That's like looking after the house, but you don't have anybody. And I'm like, well, that sort of does make sense, you know, in an unfortunate way.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch, you just created a lynch mob.
You haven't got a police force.
Well, that kind of leads us into kill number 8 right now. And that mob mentality gets the best of everybody.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
We have one guy say, I saw him, he's over there. We see
he's
a
in the bushes.
Move, yep. And then we have like 4 guys get out just with a bunch of guns. And
unloading their shotguns and rifles into a bush. Which I was like, not. I mean, it's Halloween.
Yeah.
It could be a kid dressed up like anything.
People should be listening and following the curfew. Unless they didn't hear it.
That's right. That's why they deserve to get killed.
That's not what it said. Well, who do we have being found?
Is it Michael? Like, let's go get him. And they go around the bush and it's like, it's Tim.
It's Ted Hollister.
It's Ted Hollister.
Yeah, he gets lit up and they're like.
I do like that they're kind of like, God damn it. It's not even like, oh, fuck. It's like,
and then they're angry at the guy. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Dude. You said you saw him. So again, that goes to the point of the whole mob mentality thing.
Yeah,
not good.
Maybe not so good after all.
I think you immediately too said they're going to kill a teen, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm like, they're going to kill some kids in costumes.
Well, they killed somebody.
Yeah.
Not any teens this time. Well, we also have a shot of Michael taking a little ride in a police car. We have one of the deputies who was looking after Jamie's house take his car and go meet up with Sheriff Meeker because Loomis and co are going to Meeker's house to bunker down. We see Michael's hand in the back of the deputy's car as he drives back to the house, essentially bringing Michael exactly where he needs to be.
Yep.
So once Loomis and co get back to the sheriff's house, they arm up and they lock it down. And again, it's more of the everyone accepting like there's something going
on. Yeah, I'm like, honestly, smart.
Don't ask questions.
They're boarding up windows. They're latching, you know, all the entrances. They're like, all right, front door, only way in and out.
And there's a little bit more of the B plot of Brady and the sheriff's daughter, Kelly, kind of hooking up. And then Rachel having to be there, too, with Jamie.
Yeah,
she's like, oh, good.
Cool.
But Brady arms up and Kelly does her best to make coffee and, you know, try and keep a calm atmosphere. We have the sheriff going into his basement and he uses an old school. It's like a ham radio, right?
I don't remember this.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. He goes into the basement and he uses some sort of radio to contact the state police.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah,
he has no backup.
I think it's a ham radio.
Yeah. And he's just trying to get a hold of anybody. And he finally does, and we have some outside help coming, but it's going to take time. My next note just says, Loomis dips, Sheriff dips, everybody dips.
Yeah, one by one, it was like, I just got to do it. I got to go.
Loomis, I guess, wants to stop him before anything else bad can happen.
Yeah.
And the sheriff wants to, I guess.
He's like, also me. Me too. It's like, all right, I guess you can just leave the kids here. Like, there's still the deputy and stuff, but it's like,
true.
You're kind of, your plan to like bunker down really starts falling apart.
At least the deputy has a shotgun, which true. He got out of the back of his car.
Yeah, posted up at the front door.
But when he went out to his car, like the doors were open.
Yeah, he was kind of looking like, huh.
That's weird.
Anyway.
Must be kids.
Yeah.
And he just gets a shotgun, goes back inside. Well, we now have kill number 9. Can you tell us what happens with this kill, Jeff?
Is this the kill where we have Beverly? What's her name?
Kelly.
Kelly making coffee. She comes out like, hey, you know, this. Thought I'd bring you some coffee. And,
wish we had MTV.
Yeah, wish we had MTV to watch with a power out. And we see the deputy kind of rocking in his chair or just chilling with his shotgun and totally ignoring her, which is like, okay, dick move. And then she sets the coffee down and I don't know, a light moves or something. And she just looks over. Yeah, turns on a light, which power's out.
Candle?
Oh, it's a it was an oil candle.
Right,
lamp. And we see the deputy.
Yep.
Kind of like mangled up.
I'm kind of like his body got broken and like crushed or whatever. But like we see his face and a hand is just over there.
Yeah. And then she looks over and the deputy, the shadow of who she thought was the deputy, stands up and it's Michael holding the shotgun.
And instead of firing it off, what does he do, Jeff?
Oh, God. I totally thought he was going to shoot her, which I was like, huh, kind of out of character for Michael. And instead, he shoves it like through her stomach and like pins her to a wall.
And like you see it go through the door. I think it's a door.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's you see the back of the door break and she's just hanging there.
Yep.
And yeah, that was a pretty
kind of a Jason move.
Kind of a Jason move. Kind of like
pinning someone to a wall or a door.
Or like original Halloween.
Where he
puts like that one guy up with a knife. Yeah. One of his staples. Just
classic.
Pinning somebody to the wall with his feet off the ground.
Get it?
I do.
Like stapling them to the wall.
Oh, that's funny. Hit the button.
This one? Fuck.
Let's also get kill number 10 in there for the deputy who died off screen. We now have Michael entering the house and he starts coming after Rachel and Jamie. And we have Brady.
He's stepping up and trying to defend them by just fumbling for so long with a shotgun. Well, because he fires it
at a door. And he keeps telling Rachel, we need to go. Jamie's, forget about her.
Yeah, she's like, no, Jamie. And he's like, there's no way she's survived
this long. Did you
see
what he did to Kelly?
Yeah, I was like, damn, okay, that's not so good.
Yeah.
And then he, shoots a hole in the door. And he's like, it's made of metal.
And it's hot.
Which
or
means
something.
We're trapped in here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, huh?
I don't understand.
So yeah, they start kind of like backing up the stairs and he just like fumbling around with that shotgun because
he forgot
so long.
He didn't reload.
Yep. And he's just like, fuck.
Michael slowly just comes up the stairwell, which by the way is an elegant stairway.
Oh, beautiful. Huge.
Mm-hmm.
The landing halfway up the stairs is like the size of a small bedroom.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then we have, I already forgot their names, but the sisters.
Jamie and Rachel.
They're like, Brady, come on. And he's like, go for quite a while.
This is one of the moments that I absolutely hate. Oh. And I've brought this up in movies in general. I've brought this up in the past.
Oh, totally.
It's like a Resident Evil. Go! It's somebody giving you guys or whoever they're talking to time to get away. And I know you're having a difficult time, but this person
like
is also
lingering is
yeah.
not no, helping
come
them.
Come on. He's clearly not going to go.
I would get it if they were like, they also had a gun or something and they were actively firing and they're like, well, if I stay, I'll help. But just
like,
being
distract
like
them, but
it's like you're not doing anything. You're just watching, you freak.
This is one of the movies that I specifically think of that annoys me when characters won't, you know, this guy's going to die.
Yeah. And I mean, you know,
yeah, I like that he gets beat up by Michael a little
me
bit.
Me too.
He gets like shoved across the landing. He gets the shotgun grabbed out of his hands.
And I do like how Brady, he runs out of ammo and he does get a hit in with the butt of the shotgun, which I was like, hey, good effort. But then totally.
And he punches Michael a few times too, right?
Yeah.
And that doesn't do much because Michael then grabs him by the head and lifts
kinda
him
like
up.
Lifts him up and crushes him.
Yeah. That's Did we already hit the button?
I did, yeah.
Kill number 11.
Kill number 11.
Brady is dead. We now have Michael chasing Rachel and Jamie on top of the roof of the building.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a few fun facts about this this scene here. This is actually like this entire thing is practical. It was built in the middle of a field and it's about six feet off the ground from what they were saying in the documentary.
It's like, the, like you said, the roof of the house, like shingles and stuff.
And it was thrown together really quickly because any CG or a lot of the shots, you know, you could tell that they were stunt actors.
Mm.
Like these two did a lot of their own stunts on this particular scene.
Right.
And so they wanted to just give it more realism. And I remember, I think the writer or somebody said, if a crowd can spot CG, it's going to pull you out like that. And they didn't want that. They
or like, again, like a stunt actor trying to play a little kid.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, that's goofy.
And originally, I think the writer did also want the house to be on fire at this point and just like a lot of shit going on. But that would have been too much.
It
added budget and that had to have been CG probably. But we have them climbing up on a very slippery, shingly roof.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, Rachel slides down the roof and almost falls off. And the actor, actually, she ended up getting caught on a nail on her stomach, which cut her because this was all thrown together quickly. And she ended up being okay. You know,
that thing was awful.
But yeah, she ended up having to continue after that. But then we have Michael finding his classic signature knife and he chases them up on top of the roof. And I'll admit the scene's a little goofy.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Because the way Michael is just kind of like throwing his body around, trying to
Yeah. It's just so clumsy.
And he's swinging the knife around. And eventually Jamie gets lowered down by like a wire or something.
Yeah, it looks like a cable or like a satellite cable or something, coaxial.
Michael does end up getting a hold of Rachel. So she ends up letting go. And you just see like Jamie attached to the wire and he just fucking goes shooting down. And it has to be like some sort of like stunt double or like a doll or something. Because you see
like it stops all of a sudden. It's
and
like,
it just whips. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that that is not a
definitely,
person.
Definitely. Yeah.
Jamie is able to swing herself to the side of the building and crawl down. But then you see Michael just doing some kind of awkward, goofy swings with a knife at Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
And that does cause her to fall off from the roof. And she falls and she is not lowered, not even halfway. She just hits the ground.
Impact.
Smack.
Hard impact.
Jamie is like, oh, no, Rachel, get up. And then somehow Michael does manage to do his classic Michael maneuver when he's down right there on the ground. He starts coming after Jamie.
I was
Jamie.
Wondering about that.
Hey, he's magic.
Yeah.
Magic.
He floated down.
He did, or he elegantly just like takes one step off and he just Mary Poppins down the side with his arms out with a knife. So Jamie ends up booking it because, you know, Rachel's not looking too good.
Yeah.
And she conveniently runs into Loomis. Thank God he dipped. They end up going to the school, which Loomis had a good idea about because, when he breaks in, he's like, the alarm will let people know that we're here because it just starts blaring as soon as they enter.
Right.
And Michael, you know, they thought they had a head start on him, but nope, he shows up pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the scene where we have a bit of a mask mix up.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We have a Michael coming in from out of frame with a kind of like a light blonde head of hair.
And a pink face.
And a pink face.
And I honestly didn't ever really notice it until, I don't know, maybe a few years ago when somebody pointed out, I was like, oh, wow, how did I not see that? Because you saw that immediately.
Yeah, I was like, hey, wait, hold on. What the fuck?
And I was about to like rewind and be like, did you see that? And you're like, yeah, I did.
I thought it was going to be a plot point for a moment, like it was a high school kid because they're in the school and there's the whole thing about the kid who got hit by the car.
Ben Tramer.
And I'm like, maybe it'll be that kind of situation. And they're kind of hinting at it with this. And nope.
Just.
Especially because right away, Michael picks Loomis up and throws him through a glass door. I'm like, well, that's not a high school kid.
Or it's an influencer.
Right.
You never know.
Hey.
Hashtag prank, dude. Like and subscribe if you want to see more old men thrown through windows.
Oh, no.
In the documentary that I watched, some of the writer and the director were talking about how, you know, they were spending hours and hours on set and running late on things and everyone was just tired.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just one of the things that they just went unnoticed and they should have gone back and refilmed, but they just didn't.
And they're like, whatever.
Yeah. There was another behind the scene bit where they were talking about the scene where Loomis is surrounded by the other Michael Myerses.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like 12 degrees at night and it was like 4 a.m. and everyone was super tired and they did like 12 takes. And unfortunately, no one noticed that Donald Pleasance, you know, because he's bald.
Right.
He was wearing a hat in all of those scenes. And they didn't realize it till after they did the playbacks or whatever. So they had to go back and reshoot that.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't remember anything. So
because they had to redo it all.
That sucks.
And it just went back to the whole, the crew and cast were so tired, even filming it. No one realized it till, you know, they had to redo it.
Oh, I'd be so pissed.
Yeah, me too. But, you know, Donald Pleasant, he's an actor's actor. He does what he has to.
That's right.
So this is when we have Rachel reappearing. She's not dead.
Hey.
Because Jamie ends up getting chased by Michael. She trips down some stairs and like Michael grabs her for a quick second. And then Rachel shows up and she fire extinguishes Michael. And
saves
the like, day. Oh, God, why?
Yeah, get this fucking A, dude. Just like smoke in his face.
I do want to say we have some good moments when we're watching movies together and we just make up dialogue. Yeah. Just like the most nonchalant shit. Like, what is, I don't know. It's funny.
Yeah.
It makes me laugh. But anyways, they end up escaping. And thankfully, they run into the local town militia as soon as they get out because Loomis's plan worked, essentially. Yeah. They heard the bells going off and the alarms. They
came running.
And I like this scene.
This is the part I was talking about earlier where I was like, oh, level-headed. And I forgot they, like, killed that dude. But they run up and they're like, let's go.
Where is he?
Where is he? And she goes,
he's in there.
Yeah, he's in there. Where?
In the school.
In the school. It's like, stupid.
What's going on here? We heard the alarm.
He's inside.
Jesus, where?
In the school.
And then,
but
and then
yeah.
They're like, I mean, maybe, like
we should go after him.
Like, the state police is coming. I mean, I don't know. Maybe
that's what they get paid for.
And the other guy's like, yeah, that sounds good to me. I mean, let's get the fuck out of here. And he's like, yeah, okay, that's
right,
a good
idea. Yeah.
And they all are just like, yeah, fuck this. Why would we go inside? Like, let the police handle it.
They're like, we did already kill a man.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we should cool it. You know what
let's
I mean?
Let's rethink because they end up shooting a Loomis next.
Yeah. So they get the girls in the car and they
off they go
leave town, which I was like, again, good call.
Smart moves.
I mean, you know,
for the most part, they end up driving past the state police and being like, you know, he's in this town school. We're going to keep going. And they think everything's fine until we have a moment that I noticed you were like, what?
Yeah. As they're driving along, who makes an appearance coming out from what appears to be under the truck
from the back?
Michael.
We see a hand appear and maybe like a hand with a knife. And you're just like, what? How? Like,
where the fuck did he come from?
And I said he was Indiana Jonesing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just holding onto the bottom with his feet trying to like hold onto the top as his butt is slowly just getting like rubbed up against the wall. It's like just the cops need to go by a little bit further.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Now's my time. My butt hurts.
All right, here we go. Ugh.
And we now have kills number 12, 13 and 14. We have three of the militia crew in the back.
Man. Just fully splinter cells this whole thing like a ninja, quietly taking out one after another. And they're like armed dudes.
He stabs them. He throws them off. They go flying out the back.
Driver does not notice.
Nope. I like that there's a moment where all three of them just kind of like look at each other like,
Okay.
Kind of quiet.
Yeah, weird. And then we got a hand crashing through the window and grabbing the driver's face. And this is where we have the, it almost looks like he's ripping the dude's face off.
It's like the throat.
Yeah, nasty.
And we have kill number 15. That dude is a dead.
Yeah, he definitely dead.
We have Michael just kind of smashing at the windows. And I like that Rachel just doesn't really skip a beat. She's freaking out, but she just pushes that dude's body
grabs the
out.
Wheel and just shoves him right into a ditch.
He's dead, you know.
Yeah.
At this point, it's fight or flight. And I also like at this point, Michael just headbutts the windshield too with his just boom.
Aye.
Bold move. And I wrote down a line that you said. It says, Michael Tom Cruises is it.
Yeah.
Because he's just hanging onto the roof of the car
just
as the car's swinging back and
the
forth.
The wind in his mask hair.
Dun, 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 dun. Michael Myers on the top of a truck. Here he comes to stab you.
I like it.
Thanks.
She does the whole swerve maneuver to try and get him off. Doesn't work so much, but then she slams on the brakes.
Which, you said, is a bold move.
Yeah, risky. Because you might just stop the car and then he like gets off. And it's like, hey, what?
He's like, oh, thanks. Thanks, yeah. I'm just
stab,
gonna
stab, stab.
Just, I mean, oh, it's hard on the knees.
Yeah.
You good?
I'm getting old.
All right, here you go.
Yeah, stab, stab, stab. But instead, he goes flying through the air, does a little roll, and then she...
He stands right back up.
Yeah.
And just, she floors it, and... This scene, it's a little much. It just, it's a doll.
It's
you
goofy.
See the car.
Well, he's like
staring straight at it.
Yeah.
She hits the gas and she just smashes right into him. And from the way it's shot, it looks like he just like gets
like stiff
broken.
As a board.
Yeah. Like the front just hits the front of the car.
Yeah. And he just kind of like flies through the air.
Mm-hmm. and he goes flying down into a ditch by a mine, convenient. And it looks like he is done for. We have some of the cops now showing up, some of the state troopers. They're That's like, right. hey, we have Rachel going to greet them.
She's like, Jamie, stay in the car.
Jamie doesn't. What does she do?
Well, she wants to go hang out with Michael.
With her uncle.
Yeah, she goes over to the body, kind of looks at him, touches his hand and holds his hand. And then Rachel's like, Jamie, no, get away from the body. And she turns around and you see Michael's hand move. And it grabs the knife and he sits up. And then
you have one of the cops yelling, get down.
Get down.
And you see Jamie kind of duck down in slow motion.
And then again, just as they did not long ago. Well, just as the militia did not long ago with just a neighborhood man.
Mm-hmm.
they unload their weapons into Michael.
And it is like 10 of these guys.
Oh, God. So many bullets. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, again, goofy. Something about the way Michael's.
His
posture. Like, posture is like, I was like, is he Loomis?
There were times you were also like, is he wearing shoulder pads?
Yeah, he just seemed kind of awkward.
Yeah.
Like, boom, 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 boom. I'm like, that can't be Michael just because the way he's. Anyway, he gets just obliterated and he falls into the mine.
Yep. Down a mine shaft. And the mine shaft collapses on top of that.
Yep.
And everyone's like, woohoo. They give each other high fives. We now
take the ladies home.
Cut to a much chiller scene.
That's right.
Everyone is just calming down. They're like, all right, this is over. What a shitty night. Rachel's mom is starting to bath for Jamie. And then we cut to a first person view. We have a mask slowly go over the camera, which is very reminiscent of Halloween, original Halloween.
Wait a second.
Where Michael starts to stalk somebody, his sister.
That's right.
Then we see a little hand grab a knife. Again, we're looking through the mask, go down the hallway, turn. We see the mom getting the bath ready. And then we have a scream. And then what do we have, Jeff?
The police and Rachel come rushing around the corner and Loomis.
He comes first.
Up onto the stairs, and at the top of the stairs stands Rachel. I mean, stands Jamie. Jamie wearing the clown costume, wearing the mask.
Covered in blood.
Covered in blood, holding a bloody scissors.
And we have some of my favorite Loomis acting.
And he goes to shoot her.
Yeah, he pulls the fucking gun.
And
I love that.
I think one of the police grabs
the sheriff,
out of his hand or knocks it out of his hand or something like that. And then he sees it and kind of points his weapon also, I'm pretty sure. But Loomis was like, I'm about to
kill this kid.
Sure, yeah. And then Rachel, obviously very distraught.
And the final shot of the movie is Jamie holding the bloody knife, cut to black.
That's right.
That is Halloween 4.
And as you all know, the rest of the Halloween movies all star a young girl murdering townspeople dressed as a little clown.
You'd be surprised.
I know. I don't know what happens.
All righty, Jeff. Are you ready to move into our final thoughts of this movie?
I'm ready.
Fantastic. First question, as always, Jeff, did you like this movie?
You know what, Steve? I did like this movie.
That is extraordinarily surprising, Jeff. I feel like all of the Halloween movies just kind of ride the line of to bad for you.
Yeah. Weirdly enough, this might be my favorite Michael Myers Halloween movie.
Okay.
Oh, I feel like you convinced me that Halloween 3 is a great movie, and I've yet to rewatch it. But my rose-colored glasses tells me that that it was a great movie. This movie was fun.
It was.
The style of it was great. Again, like you said, the 80s kind of attitude, there's maybe some synth type music in it. Some great visual punches. Like there's scenes where Michael shows up just in the background, in the shadows, and there's like a sound and throughout the movie. Very, very cool. Again, kid actor, great actor. I was surprised.
Daniel Harris.
Story was kind of fun. I didn't mind like the whole thing where she's his niece and all that. I was into it.
Yeah,
I could see people might have been annoyed. I don't know how people reacted to it, but
I mean, I'm sure people overall, were disappointed that Jamie Lee Curtis didn't come back as Laurie Strode.
Right.
Because she's honestly, a bit of a staple.
I didn't care. I like Jamie Lee Curtis, but I'm also a fan of things changing and movies not just rehashing the same plot over and over and over.
If you're taking a shot at Friday the 13th, I understand and I respect that.
Maybe.
Until he goes to space, dude.
I'm ready for that.
I know. And because of Worm.
I hope Michael Myers goes to space someday.
I fucking hope. That would be brilliant.
What about you, Steve? Did you like this movie?
I do. I enjoy this movie. I think this is the one I may... I feel like I don't really venture too much into the Thorn trilogy. Mm-hmm. I know this isn't really have anything to do with the Thorn cult or anything, but this is just, I guess, the one that starts off or launching off the whole thing with the cult of Thorn and weird Druid's curses. But I think that this is like a solid follow-up to like number one.
Yeah, I think so too.
As much as I like two, I keep saying I feel like two is more of a companion piece to number one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that should be all one movie and that continuity should stay.
Right.
Which they kind of, you know, burn later. But this all on its own is fantastic. If they had the original mask from Halloween, original Halloween, ooh, I think I would like be absolutely in love with this movie.
Agreed.
I do think it has some kind of wonky, goofy elements, but I feel like that's just part of things in the 80s.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know why it just kind of worked.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's like his weird body flying back. Like I laughed, but yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'm laughing. I'm having a good time.
Yeah. And I think that is the most important part when it comes to some of these movies, because
yeah,
there's the one Halloween Resurrections where it's like a reality TV show. And I think Coolio scissor kicks him through a window or whatever. I don't know who it was who scissor kicks him, but like some of them, I'm just like, I'm bored and I'm just going through it because it has Michael Myers.
Right.
But I guess this one is still like in that realm of we're not sure if he's supernatural or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the story is pretty solid and straightforward.
Yeah.
I think it could have gone without the B plot of like the whole Rachel and Brady and Kelly type thing. We didn't even really talk about it. But I mean,
I guess it fleshed out the character a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess they need that for us to kind of care more about these characters.
Yeah.
Because I really actually like Rachel's character.
Yeah, I thought she was great.
I think she plays a great sister to mm-hmm. Jamie. I think that she's just gorgeous. You know, she can marry me if she wants. But yeah, I really like her character. Like you said, Daniel Harris, fantastic. I usually don't like kid actors, but she was great. And honestly, Loomis. Loomis makes these movies for me. Donald Pleasance brings his A game.
Mm-hmm.
And after this movie, I'm going to give you a little bit of a spoiler. He just becomes more unhinged.
Nice.
And that's what I like.
I feel like this was the first time I'm like fully on. I'm like Team Loomis now.
Really? You weren't Team Loomis in number two?
I honestly don't remember.
That's
but
fair.
I feel like he's just unhinged in this one in a way that I enjoyed.
And yeah, this is like the start of it too. And especially like the ending scene with the whole, no!
No!
It's like, oh yeah, no, he just like cracked.
Yikes. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you about the ending. What did you think about the whole transference of evil?
I thought it was kind of goofy, but again, it kind of went with the vibe of the movie. It didn't, I don't know if I would have gone, I would have chosen that ending kind of twist. It felt a little bit tacked on.
Okay.
But in a way, I don't know. I kind of was into it.
Me too. I remember really liking this again when I rented this as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to get into Halloween series at this point, and this was probably my favorite. I think the first one at that age when I was watching them, it was a little too slow paced.
Yeah.
Too dry, a little too more on the serious note. Again, I'm going to say the wacky, kind of like goofy-ish, but still realistic and like kind of scary parts of it. I really liked it. Maybe I kind of like connected with a kid. There's like someone I can be like, hey, I'm a kid too. Maybe I could be possessed by Michael Myers.
I feel like if they would have just sprinkled in a few more little hints in that direction, maybe I would have liked it a little bit more.
I also like that they sort of use more of this idea in Halloween Ends.
Me too.
Because I mean, I feel like
there
is debate as to whether or not Michael transferred his evil into Corey. I fully believe that.
I think so too.
The whole eye thing, but other people are like, he bonded with them and he's like, oh man, maybe I am bad or whatever. I fully believe it.
No, I think it's like an entity.
The transference of evil. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to spoil something for you, Jeff. They dropped that immediately in Halloween 6.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah. It's kind of a bummer because I sort of like the idea of a fresh take. It's still like the shape, I guess, or like the essence of the shape of Michael, but it's now in a child again. Maybe they would fast forward in the future and Jamie is now like an adult, and it's kind of, I guess, still like the recycled. She is now on a murdering spree because she has like some other.
But it kind of keeps it, you know, it's like the Phantom.
Exactly. And yeah, I think that this is a great movie. I think it's a lot of fun. And this is the last one that I really, really like.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones,
that's sad.
It's just been like a hot minute since I've seen some of the other ones. Or
maybe
like,
they'll be good.
5 and 6. I just got 5 on UHD 4K Blu-ray today. I'm excited about that. So I'll probably watch that either tonight or tomorrow.
Or, no, you can watch it.
Thanks. I mean, well, I've seen it before, you know.
I know, but you haven't seen it so long.
True.
But you just got it. Who knows when we'll cover Halloween 5.
And like 6 is the one that gets really wacky, where they really go into the whole Druid's Curse, Cult of Thorn with like the producer's cut and the theatrical cut. And it's like, did Michael just get defeated by some rocks? I don't know.
Maybe.
Which version is this? I don't know.
Yeah.
Is this true or not? Who's to say? But I think this is a great movie, Jeff. And I'm glad you enjoyed it too, because like I said, Halloween 1, I thought you were going to like, and it was a miss for you.
Yeah.
And I understand. It goes back to that whole 70s, you know, late 70s. That's just how movies were done.
Right.
The second, I think you also were just like, take it or leave it.
Yeah, I don't remember being huge into it.
I think said it was more of the same.
Yeah, it was kind of like a rehash of the first one and the writing iffy for me. And then 3 was pretty cool.
It was the best
again,
of them all.
Maybe I love it. I don't know. And then this one was pretty good.
So, yeah, I'm excited to keep going with these.
And, me too.
And I just want to give another shout out to the podcast, The Mouths of Madness. Their first two episodes, they covered the entire Halloween franchise, including like the Rob Zombie ones and the newest ones, the Blumhouse ones. And I'm excited to get back into the world of Michael Myers and Haddonfield. And
we'll catch up to you guys one day, Mouths of Madness.
And I just love that like this series takes risks here and there.
Yeah.
There are some bad ones, but like every franchise, like Hellraiser and Friday the 13th, you got to take some risks here and there. And
yeah. And when you have so many movies, I mean, you're bound to get some weird ones in there.
Exactly. And that's why I appreciate what they did with Halloween Ends. They took a risk and it was very divisive.
And we liked it.
We certainly did. All right, Jeff, next question. Is this a movie you would watch again?
Yeah, I'd watch this movie again.
Is this a movie you might put on like at a Halloween party or something? Or like
yeah, totally.
Maybe when you're carving a pumpkin?
Yeah, I definitely would.
Because it's not, again, one you need to really pay attention to. Once you know the plot, it's like, all right, Michael, he's back. What else? He's back and he's hunting another relative.
And it's not super like visual in a lot of ways. It's not like the movie Trick or Treat or anything where it's like, whoa, very Halloween. It's like mainly a town and townspeople, but it's still the vibes of it and the music. I'd put it on in the background for sure.
And final question. Is this a movie you would show and recommend to someone?
Yes.
Would you show or recommend this to someone if they hadn't seen Halloween, original Halloween and Halloween 2?
That's hard because it's like, I would, but they'd almost be like, what the fuck?
They do give that exposition in the elevator.
True. Yeah, I probably would. I feel like they might not appreciate it at the same level.
True.
Because you don't have the backstory of Loomis and, you know, that whole.
How did he survive that explosion with a little scarring?
Right. And like who did Jamie Lee Curtis play? You know, I'd maybe do 1 and then 4.
Yeah. Again, I feel like 2 is a companion piece that you could skip, but they do include that continuity in this one because of the burns and everything.
Right.
All right, Jeff, one final question. Well, I forgot what I was going to ask you. Never mind.
Well, then. Would you rewatch this movie?
Absolutely. I honestly have a much more appreciation for this movie after the last couple of times I've watched it. I always felt like I threw this one kind of to the side. I feel like I've done that with 4, 5, and 6. They're just like, all right, sure.
Maybe because 5 and 6.
I think maybe, yeah.
And you're like, it goes with those.
And it's just like 1 is the penultimate, you know? It's the top of everything. And then H2O was the other good one. That was a new reboot. But I am a big fan of this one. This is probably my second favorite of this original Halloween like series that was done.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd probably say 1 is first.
Interesting. Okay.
But I also group 1 and 2 together.
So you're a cheater.
I am. I group 1 and 2 together, and this is right after that. Again, I can only imagine how I would have felt about this movie if they used the original mask.
Oh, I wish.
And you know, you've seen like on the marketing and like the covers of like the VHS and some of the DVDs, like they use the image, the promotional image from like Halloween 1 or 2 or something. It's like, that's
so mean.
You just lied to me.
Yeah. Fucking false advertising. That's what that is.
I feel like once we go through all of these movies, which will, you know, take a little bit of time, but we should go and like rank the masks. I think that would be a fun little thing to do.
Good idea.
All right, Jeff. Well, we are running late. It is very late. It's later than it should be right now. Let's move into the rating of this movie. Jeff, I'll come up with this one. Out of 5 shotguns pinning you to a door.
Oh, yikes.
How many shotguns would you pin yourself to a door to?
Out of... Good one.
Thanks.
Out of 5?
I panicked.
I'm going to say... 3? I almost want to say 4, but I'm going to say 3.
Okay.
3 shotguns, maybe 3.5 if that's possible. I'll say 3.
Yeah, again, right. We've gone over all of the good things about this movie.
Right. Like, I was like, is there anything else I want to say? Not really.
I'm trying to think of something besides, you know, the mask that I kind of really didn't like, but I think everything, I give this 4 out of 5 shotguns.
Okay. Into a door.
There's like not a lot that I would really change. I know I complained a little bit about the Brady, Rachel, Kelly thing, but like you said, it adds to these characters. It builds a little bit.
And it wasn't bad. It just,
no, not at all. It's just, you know, we barely touched on it because it doesn't add to anything aside from the characters. But, you know, just know that Rachel is great.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. Brady and Kelly, they can go wherever.
And Steve would marry her.
It's true. Ellie Cornwall. I don't know if that's her name. But please marry me. Yeah, 4 out of 5. There's so much good to this.
Mm-hmm.
It is a spooky movie. Oh, my question for you right now, Jeff.
Okay.
Is what I was going to ask you earlier. Do you think this is like a scary movie?
No.
Were there any elements that maybe you could see being scary?
I feel like if I was maybe younger.
Sure.
Like the whole, you know, him being around, like chasing a little girl around basically and like being in the darkness and showing up in closets and stuff and in the shadows. And I think that could be scary.
Sure. Again, like you have that kid element to sort of represent you, or you can imagine yourself in the kid's role.
And the kind of like, there's no way to get away. He's always there kind of thing. But as an adult, not really.
Yeah. I was trying to think back through like most of these Halloween movies, if there was something that I would find scary.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like with a lot of slashers, this is just me. They're not really about the scares. It's more about like the kills.
Yeah, it's like the spectacle.
Yes, exactly. But I can see where people do find things scary. I'm just like, maybe I'm so desensitized that I see it coming, or I'm like,
It seems more like shock and the twists and the like, maybe the kills. That's fucking crazy. And that kind of, it's less like actually scared. Yeah.
It goes back to the question of like, what was the last movie that really scared you?
True.
You know, it's just
been a while.
These are now more just fun for me. You know, it's fun. Just like, oh, there goes Michael Myers again.
Right.
There he goes.
There he goes again.
Slash into my heart. And I just can't contain the blood flowing out of my veins. My Michael Myers.
That was beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you. I wrote that right now. I call that a Calabrese original. Remember that joke from last week? Or however long it was.
Yeah.
The silence and the way you just looked at me disappointed. Yep, I that's fair.
I was gonna hit the laugh button on the soundtrack, but
I didn't deserve it.
Late enough and it just kind of disappears.
That's true. That's not the first time this has happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I know we're running short on time, but I'm trying to think if there was anything else. Like, was there anything about this that you didn't like or you would change?
Honestly, not really. Yeah. Like all the things I quote unquote didn't like would be, again, the goofy stuff. And I'm like, but I did like that.
That's the thing. Yeah.
So it's weird. It's like this effect looks goofy as hell and it's not supposed to. But I like that about it.
It adds an element of this movie being from 1988. It's like,
right.
Yeah, that's what they did.
Yeah.
I will say I did like the mob mentality type thing, too. And
me too.
The town kind of banding together, which we sort of see in like a Halloween Kills, which I think you were kind of. Maybe describing earlier,
maybe
during a movie.
I don't know.
But like in that, they really show the town making a mentally disturbed individual jump out of a window and kill himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty
upsetting.
Pretty upsetting.
Yeah. But I guess that is going to bring us into everyone's favorite segment of the show.
Tops and bottoms.
Like it or hate it. One star review and 1 5-star review of this movie. For the 5-star review of this movie from Letterboxd by user Lee Richmond, I love how Michael's hair switches from brown to blonde and then back again, and clearly nobody involved in the production of this masterpiece gave a shit. This is the best Halloween sequel, period. I am totally in love with Kathleen Kinmont thanks to this movie. 5 stars.
Did you write that?
I did not. Kathleen Kidman was actually Kelly.
Oh, shit.
And
yeah,
Rachel
right.
has my heart, let me tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah, my apologies.
But don't get me wrong. I understand where this is just coming from. Just one final thing I want to say that I know we're running low on time and we've gone way over than like a normal episode yeah, because yeah. we've just been talking about this movie. But like, I guess this is a testament. Like, I mean, yeah, I enjoy it and it seems like you enjoyed it too. But you sort of did mention earlier, the cinematography was really good.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. And a lot of the imagery in this movie was used really well. And the atmosphere that was set, I feel like I believed all of it. And it was just another point I want to bring up as to what makes this movie really good.
Nice.
All right.
All right. We got one star on Letterboxd from user Doodlerman. I genuinely used to think this was better than the third one. I was a fucking idiot.
Damn.
That's all.
Well, clearly this
Thanks,
user
Doodlerman.
Does have some good taste in that Halloween 3 is pretty great.
That's right.
Man. Well, with that, Jeff, I just got to say it was crazy how I didn't expect Michael to return and I was scared. But I think with this movie, seeing him fall down that mine shaft, I think this might be it for him. I think he's finally gone.
I think so, too. And I feel like a part of me has been healed.
Me, too. And I feel like Halloween 6, they might now move into that anthology that they were doing with Halloween 3 because it's
Definitely.
A great movie.
Yeah.
And so we're going to take let's take a break because, you know, I, again, terrified of Michael. I feel healed, but I'm still scared.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like the town of Haddonfield was.
That's right.
They're healed.
Need some time
to
fully heal.
Like Jamie Lee Curtis did. Wait, I guess she's dead in this one. Never mind. And with that, Jeff, we will cross that bridge when we get to it. Can you please wrap up this episode because it is late?
It's a late one.
You should be in bed.
That's right. Well, hey, you know what? Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
everyone, for listening. Also, special thanks to our producers, James Miller,
Allie Joy,
Fernando Diaz,
Dr. Joshua Michael Hansen,
and Dustin Cardoza. Thanks, everybody. There are Final Girls on Patreon. You can become a Final Girl, a Gorehound, or a horror housemate. By going to patreon.com/HHOH, and based on what tier you're in, you'll get things like behind the scenes content, Steve playing horror video games and
which
getting
I'm bad at and really angry.
Angry or sad.
Really sad.
Hang on, Jeff. You can.
Ah! Creak! Woo,
I like the last one was like. That was the dogs barking.
I'm doing the sound effects because Jeff put the soundboard down.
Yeah, it got too late, so the soundboard is gone.
And I'm filling in the blanks. You can get a shout out exclusively when you sign up for the Final Girls tier and the
Horror Housemates tier.
I don't know if you already said that, but I just wanted to reiterate that.
Yeah, and for the Final Girls tier, you will get access to a monthly mini-sode where we will talk about horror TV shows. And currently, we are talking about Scream, the TV series.
And if you are interested to hear our thoughts on that pilot episode, we did make that one available to everyone. So you can jump in on the ground floor to get a little taste of our knowledge and our really good grasp of characters.
That's right.
I also just want to give a big thank you as well to the other tier, the Gorehounds. Unfortunately, you guys don't get the shout out, but you are supporting us and we really do appreciate that. It goes a long ways. So, you know, we really do thank you guys. And the Patreon money is going to buy us a yacht, which we'll have our first murder mystery podcast on, where Skylar will kill us and ghosts are going to get us. And we're going to be on the open seas. Ahoy, ghost ship.
Uh-oh. And you can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Midnight Movie House. You can follow Steve on Instagram at Steve with a bunch of E's. You can follow me on Instagram at Art of Jefferson. Good God damn, there's so many Instagram handles. You can follow Ugly Cowboy at Ugly Cowboy Co.
Don't forget the TikTok.
And I said TikTok.
My bad.
Come on, Steve. You can buy merchandise at HurwitzsHouseOfHorror.com, which I just realized is that's okay.
We're still making the transition.
There's a new merchandise store in
the
working.
So if
eventually
you guys,
it'll be MidnightMovieHouse.com.
Yeah, if you guys want to get a last grab at some of the merchandise that will become limited edition, it'll be nowhere sold anymore. Get your Don't do that, Jeff. Get your t-shirts, get your coasters, get your other t-shirts.
That's right. And if you have any strong feelings about Halloween 4 or any other movie we've covered or the podcast, or just feel like saying hello, give us a call at 916-538-4412. Did we just realize that we have all kinds of messages from the Hot Take Hotline?
Well, Jeff, yeah. I do see the hot take hotline message dot blinking. So that's we'll right. have to get back to those at another time. But don't worry to the
probably next
listeners
week.
Who sent those in. We will definitely be getting to those. But we just, again, running really late. Sorry. Yeah.
And you can review the podcast.
You can review your podcast, this podcast, not your podcast, our podcast. You can review your podcast if you want
we'll
to.
We'll review yours and you review ours.
But you are able to do that on all of your podcatching apps, such as Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcasts. And with specifically, I know Apple Podcasts, you are able to leave a little review. Mm-hmm. You can leave us some nice kind words or you can call us just dumb. And just make sure you give us those 5 stars because once you do that, we are contractually obligated to read that review out. So if you want to take a shot or say something nice, now is the time. Or, you know, the horror hotline, but whatever.
Yeah.
All of that support really does help. And we could not appreciate you guys anymore, especially during this transition where we're trying this new setup with discussion episodes of news and trailers and then followed by the movie episodes. I think we've gotten through everything at this point, right, Jeff?
Yes, sir.
You're a sleepy boy. You have your little nightcap
right
on. You've gotten into your PJs and you have your little teddy bear. And there's like a little one of those snot bubbles coming out of your nose going in and out.
That's right.
You're like a caricature of a cartoon caricature.
Yep.
Alrighty. Thank you again for listening. And Jeff, as we say at the end of every episode of Midnight Movie House,
I shot him six times in the heart.
God.